This is Boston. I love it. If you don't know, well, welcome to the Rational Revolution. Welcome back here. I'm Mark Becker, your host. In our house, we are huge Boston Red Sox fans, not the Patriots because, you know, screw those guys. But we love the Red Sox because my aunt and uncle used to live out there, and I became a fan of them when I was little. And off the air, Carlton and I were talking baseball, and one of the things that we're on the precipice of history here. So if you don't know, the Chicago White Sox are one game away from being the worst team in modern baseball history, but they're riding a three-game winning streak. Like, what in God's name? So we're waiting on bated breath for history to happen down in the old Chicago South Side. So, but anyway, we've got Carlton here. Hi, Carlton. How are you?
Basically feeling like the Atlanta Braves right now. We're white-knuckling it until Monday to find out whether we actually have a shot in the playoffs or not. Just like the country is pretty much white-knuckling it until November 5th or whenever we get a winner's tournament.
Yes, that's exactly, and that's a good segue to talk about Congress and the balance of power. How does that look?
If you're looking at the United States Senate and you are hoping that the Democrats retain their majority, it is looking increasingly precarious, basically because we went into this cycle, the Democrats had 51 seats and 49 for the Republicans, and the map was decidedly one that the Republicans were set to overperform in a presidential year. The most endangered Senate seat has got to be John Tester out there in Montana. He is looking increasingly like it's not going to happen for him in terms of making that race. I mean, he has defied history in both 2012 and 2018 when the Republicans thinking they were going to knock him off. But it looks like maybe the third time is going to be the charm. And the Joe Manchin seat, whether you wanted to count him as a Democrat or not, in West Virginia is all but assured to go to the Republicans. And just those two seats right there, that would put the Republicans in the majority regardless of the result of the presidential race. Though today we saw an announcement from the Democrat Senate committee in Washington that they are looking to put money into two states that we never thought would be the ones the Democrats would think about throwing money into because they're so expensive and because they were seen as out of reach. But they are looking to go into Florida against Rick Scott and then also to go into Texas against, of all people, Ted Cruz.
Is that the Ted Cruz move is wild. Is that more of like trolling Ted Cruz than it is?
It is based on like recent polling in both Florida and Texas have reflected the fact that despite the both states' relative Republican tilt, that if you are looking for two more unlikable people in the United States Senate, you would be hard-pressed to find two people more unlikable than Ted Cruz and Rick Scott. Yeah. Ted is one that ever since he realized he was not going to be president, after knuckling under to Trump, he came within 2 points of being upset 6 years ago. Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
But we've got a Democrat down there who's a former NFL player, Colin Allred, who has both a good biography and a good record as a bipartisan, solutions-oriented member of Congress. He has kept the race within single digits of Ted Cruz. And the fact is that Texas is an expensive state. It might seem like fool's gold to go into both there and Florida. But at this point, the Democrats, if they've got money and they've got two very unpopular Republican incumbents, that's the way to go. And I think that everybody looking at the Rust Belt states, including Wisconsin, they believe that the top of the ticket race will largely be tied to what happens in those Senate races.
Sure.
So I think Tammy Baldwin is doing a very good job against Eric Hovde. She is set to outperform top of the ticket. And that is looking to be the same scenario with Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. So if Kamala Harris can win both Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the Democrats are likely to keep those Senate seats. And I think that that's imperative on them just because of the way that the Senate map is tilted. If they want to have a shot at either retaining or taking back the Senate in 2026, should they lose it this time, they have to limit their losses. But on the plus side for Democrats, you're looking at increasingly the odds are that they are going to retake the House of Representatives.
Really?
So if you're looking, yes, that basically in 2022, the Republicans overperformed in suburban New York City and in suburban LA. And so those seats in a presidential year, those are hard pressed for Republicans to retain. So with a 5-seat majority, the Republicans can only afford to lose 4 seats. And we're also seeing, too, some other seats are coming online, including in Wisconsin. So if any of your listeners in western Wisconsin or even people that just want to see a good Democrat take on a questionable at best Republican, Rebecca Cook over there in Wisconsin 3, Democrats are increasingly bullish on her chances, and some of the internal polling has shown that to be a single-digit race with a chance for an upset and Rebecca Cook knocking off Derek Van Orten.
That would be seismic, I would think.
To have a Democrat in western Wisconsin be able to keep it competitive, that helps at the presidential level. It's a reflection upon you've got Tim Walz, the next-door neighbor. Everybody over those media markets knows who he is.
Yep.
That has definitely helped Democrats' chances in a region of the state where typically the Republicans in the Trump era have overperformed. So we're looking at some other seats that are coming in the Sun Belt, which Democrats in North Carolina's 1st District, they're looking to knock off an incumbent Democrat. If he's able to retain his seat, then he should be in good shape. But the North Carolina, as I can testify firsthand from being here and living here, the Republicans were able to take control of the state Supreme Court. And we saw in Wisconsin how advantageous that was for the Democrats to take control of the Supreme Court. In North Carolina, the pro-democracy side lost control of the Supreme Court, and the Republicans were able to push a very gerrymandered map that will net them at least 3 congressional seats in North Carolina alone, which is why the Democrats are really pushing hard in both New York, California, and trying to get those other seats like the Van Orden seat in Wisconsin to be in play.
Yeah, so it's it's interesting. You know, obviously you'd love to have all 3 branches, but it's like which one would you which one would you want, the House or the Senate? Which one is the one that makes the most sense to keep or retain? But we're going to talk a little more about this on the other side of the break. Here we've got a good friend of the show, former Republican strategist Carlton Huffman, here on the Rational Revolution.